Brother and Sister Emery have been coming to New Life since the early 90s, mid-90s, and they've been a wonderful friend to the Apostolic Church and to this church. And he has been a blessing at Alabama Revival Conference and in our camp two of the last 3 or 4 years, ministering there in a wonderful, wonderful way. Pastoring now in his home church in Merced, California. The Word of God says that a prophet is not without honor save in his own home or country. And it is a difficult thing to take the pulpit in the church wherein you prayed through. It's a difficult thing to pastor the people that pastored you and raised you up. And it is a sign of tremendous regard and respect that the church at Merced has embraced Brother and Sister Emery as their pastor. And we are truly blessed to have them in this house tonight. Early on in this pastorate, they're not going to travel much. And when he gets to be an old hand at it and gets all the fires put out and gets to feeling comfortable, he'll start traveling some more. So we'll get to see him when he's in his 70s and 80s. And we'll help him up on the platform and help him preach. But Brother Emery, we love you. We want you to come tonight and take your liberty. We love you in this house. We appreciate your testimony and your witness.
Praise the Lord, everybody. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I hope that I can still walk when I'm 80. If I can walk, I can preach. Amen. But we're so glad to be in the house of the Lord, and so good to see you tonight. And it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be in Birmingham. I remember the first time I came, you were in the old building. And I thought, man, this is a powerful house. And we developed a friendship with New Life at that time, and it's a great thing to still have friends along the way. Remember, it's not the friends you make, it's the only ones you keep. Amen. And if you can make it through life and have a handful of friends, you have had a good life. Amen. I don't need sometime friends. I guess y'all in Birmingham don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But I'm so glad the Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight out of the book of 1 Timothy, if I can. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I want to just talk to you if I can and preach to you if the Lord will have it that way. I want to talk to you about the mediator tonight. The mediator. How many is going to help me preach just for a little while? Amen. Amen. Now, although I've been pastoring for about a year and a half, I still haven't learned how to just plot through a sermon without an amen somewhere. I haven't got that technique down where I can just methodically plot through without somebody saying something. Gets too quiet in Merced, I stop and look around to make sure that everybody's still breathing, you know. Because I've seen dead folks in hospitals with their eyes open, so I got to make sure there's life there. So just humor me like I'm still an evangelist, all right, and just holler amen every now and then. You may be seated. I'm not sure that you understand the gravity of life, God will never, ever disenfranchise his creation. Somebody don't say amen. God will never abandon what he has created. Well, I wish I'd get an amen there. And when war from heaven had spilled onto the earth, and the earth was left in a catatonic state, the Bible says it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God would not just abstractly forget the creation that he had done in a physical creation. And the Bible said that, and then God, the Spirit of the Lord, moved on the face of the waters. You see, God will not abandon us in the middle of our trouble. Amen. But he will visit you in your very darkest hour. So for those of you that think that God has forgotten you and don't know where you are and is somehow not tuned into your situation, I want you to understand that God never abandons his creation. Amen. And so the visitation of the Word and the Spirit makes the creative combination, and the voice of the Lord speaks in the midst of darkness and says, let there be light. And then the whole drama begins. God creates 4 days of creation, 3 days of separation, 1 day of authority, 5th day of life, 6th day man, and the drama unfolds. And then somehow sin finds its way into the human family. Satan somehow devises a plan where he saddles the sperm of a man, and from one man to another, sin is transferred from you to your kids, to their kids, to their kids. See, David said that he was born in sin, and in iniquity that his mother conceived him. It did not mean that his mother was promiscuous, but David understood how that sin is passed down through the bloodline of humanity. From Adam to Cain, and from Cain to his offspring, to, amen, the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Adam, the sons of Noah, and the 3 sons of Noah at the disbursement of the flood is where you and I come from. Oh, you didn't know that, I can tell. I know you think you came from this root and that root. No, your roots go all the way back to the ark. Amen. Every nation that is represented is a spinoff from the 3 sons of Noah. My particular deal is that I am not an Afro-American. I ain't never been to Africa. I'm an Alabama-American. I was born right down the street over here in Anniston, Alabama. I was preaching, and a lady from South Africa gave me a high five, and she said she was from the motherland. I said, you from Alabama, girl? You don't talk like you from Alabama. She said, no, I'm from Africa. I said, you from where? She said, I'm from Africa. I said, I'm from Alabama. It ain't no, you from over there, and I'm from over here. You don't understand. You ain't from my motherland. You see, I'm a son of Cush. I think you have to teach them genealogy. Noah had a son named Ham. Ham had a son named Cush. Cush means dark. Here we be. So we're Cushionites. That's what we are. We're Cushionites, no matter where you come from. So We're Cush Americans. How about that? Sin saddles this way. And the drama begins. Sin comes and separates man from God. And the divide from the Garden of Eden to now has got so wide that it's wider than the Grand Canyon. And it doesn't matter what you and I do. As hard as we try, it seems that we can never close the gap between us and God. No matter how hard we desire, no matter how hard we pray, we seem that there's something always reaching but never obtaining. And so God knew that somebody had to bridge the gap. Somebody had to build a bridge over from where he was to where we were. Somebody had to make a way from heaven so that we can go up there. Somebody had to come. Somebody had to do it. I want you to know the good part of the story is that when God realized that this thing was so big that no angel could accomplish it, when he realized that it was so demonstrative that no man could do it, I want you to know that he did not turn until some so-called second one in the Trinity. I didn't get no amen, but I'm going to preach on anyhow. He didn't call on the third one in the Godhead. But my Bible tells me that God himself put on flesh and blood and said, I will go down and redeem. I'm trying to tell you that God will never abandon his creation. If he has to roll up his sleeves and put on flesh and come down here to straighten this mess out, God said, that's what I'll do. But I will not abandon you. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you by yourself. Oh, somebody ought to be happy tonight. One of the greatest fears of humanity is abandonment. Nobody wants to be abandoned. People suffer from dysfunctionalisms because my daddy ran off and I don't know who he is. My mother ran off and did not want me. I'm a stepchild, or I am an adopted child, or I am some kind of disenfranchised human being. And so we develop dysfunctionalisms because we feel we've been abandoned and nobody wants us and nobody loves us. I wish I had an amen in the house. These are the fears of humanity, and some of them are justly so. But what you've got to understand is that somehow, some way, when we fall into the depths of despair, that we are somehow always given unto hyperbole. You see, you could have one person that doesn't like you, but instead of just focusing on that, you just make it, nobody likes me. I wish I had some help in this house. Nobody loves me. It may be just one person, but because we are feigned to hyperbole and to overblow things, sometimes we can get so focused on the negative that we fail to see the positive. Sometimes we can get so focused on what's going wrong that we can't see all the good things and the power of what's going right. Sometimes we can look and see only our failures and don't realize how far God has really brought. I guess y'all don't want to help me preach tonight. Somebody ought to realize today, you need to let your enemy know that I may not be everything you're telling me that I'm not, but I am not everything you're telling me that I am. Come on and help me preach, somebody. You've got to acquiesce to the fact that I've lost some battles. But you also got to say, I've won some also. You're not going to help me preach, but I'll preach on. You got to give the devil his due. Say, yeah, I did fall down, but I got up again. You got to let somebody know, you know what? I had some bad days, but I've had some good days. I've been broken, but I've been blessed. Oh, I wish somebody helped me preach today. And what the devil has tried to use for evil, God has turned it all around. And look at me now. He came to mediate, to hedge, to bridge, to make a way. Paul reminds us of our inferiorities. Paul reminds us by saying, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For the good that I would do, I do not. And that which I would not do, I wind up doing. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm perplexed and it is complex, but I want you to know one thing. There is a desire in me to do good. There is a hunger in me to serve God. There is something in me pulsating and beating that say, you know what, really in my hearts of hearts, really in the deep recesses of my soul, I want to be something for God. And I want to preach to you tonight, if you got just a little bit desire, you got enough to beat all of hell tonight. Whatever you do, don't let the devil take your desire. Because if you got just a little bit of desire, it'll pick you up in the midnight hour. If you got a little bit of desire to love God, to serve God, to want to embrace Him, God will make a way to find where you are, because God will never abandon His creation. He will always hedge the breath. God is the mediator. He is the thing that hedges. He makes a way to get to you when you cannot get to Him. You see, you've got to be careful. I've noticed that the enemy will lie to us if we're not careful. If we don't stay conscious and focused on the fact that He is my mediator. And in times when I cannot get to Him, He will find me. He will get to me. He will make a way, because He will never abandon me. And so hell will try to convince us that we've lost something somewhere. It's all right. I'm going to just preach on. You see, we live in a complicated world. It's thinking, you know, it seems like when I was a kid, things were a whole lot less complicated. But that's because I was a kid. I didn't have to worry about a mortgage or a car payment or a house payment. Or my wife wanted to go to Walmart 3 times a day. Sister Dion and them came and visited us when they was out for No Limits. They was ready to get on the airplane when they found out we did not have a super Walmart. They said, Brother Emery, we love you. We love the church, but we're out of here. We got to get back to Birmingham where there is a super Walmart. And life seems simpler then. And we call those the good old days. They're only good because they're past. Your best days are now. Now, I don't want to go back to where I was. I'm looking forward to something greater than what I have. I'm not looking to turn back the pages of time and turn back the clock of events and go back to a simpler time. But what I'm saying is, God, give me the anointing. Give me the power. Give me what I need to do, what I need to do right now. I don't need to look back at when I think times were negotiable. What I need to do is find that place in God today that God will give me dominion, authority, and power over the enemy. And I'm telling you, God will do that and make a way to where you are today. And what the enemy wants to sell us is that because we're so invested, huh? That we're so, it's just life. It's just where we are. It's just culture. It's where we live today. Okay, it's just where we live. It's just how the things are. We've got to go to work. I know that's a bad word for some folks. But it's only a three-letter word. It's the four-letter words that are bad. Job is a three-letter word. It ain't gonna kill you. Now, hard and work put together, those are two things you may not want to put together. Hard work, that might hurt you. But think about it. We got work. Birmingham is getting bigger and bigger. It used to take us 10 minutes to get across town. Now it takes 2 hours. See, our life's getting more complicated. Even though we got little digital deals and digital dats and little cell phones and earpieces, I see people walking around, got things hanging off the side of their head, and you think somebody's talking to you and they're talking to their ear. You don't know what's going on. You got PDAs and smartphones. You got phones more smarter than we are. The phones are so smart, we can't work them. They're working us. Complicated life. Our kids' lives are complicated. They're on YouTube and MySpace and they're blogging and potting, and I don't even know what half of that mess means. But that's their generation. And if we're not careful, we'll get so pulled in so many ways that it's harder for us to connect with where God is in our lives. And so there we've got to be careful not to let go of the mediation of God. Because you see, God is always reaching for you even when you're not reaching for him. And so when God grabs a hold of you, honey, you've got to do everything you can do to hold on to the hand of God. And so with our lives so complicated and our days so filled, we have got to get to the point where we still take time to pray. I didn't get too many amens on that, so I'm going to have to preach for a while. Friend, if you think we're going to have revival without prayer, if you think you're going to beat the devil without prayer, if you think you're going to be successful spiritually without prayer, if you think you're going to... Well, now, here's one of the things you got to... Whatever it took for you to get here. Whatever it took for you to get here. Whatever it took for you to get here, that's what it's going to take for you to stay, and that's what's going to take for you to move on to the next level. We didn't get here by crying. We got here by praying. We got here by fasting. We got here by faith. We got here by believing. You're not hearing what I'm saying. We got here by dancing in the face of the devil and said, you tried, but you didn't do it then. And I came to let them know in Birmingham, you can't do it now, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's never forgotten me once. He won't forget me now. He will not abandon his creation. He is the mediator. He is the mediator. And sometimes we come to church and we don't feel like it. Can I break it down? Sometimes I come to church and I don't feel like it. Oh, did that hurt your feelings? Sometimes when I'm at home, I don't feel like it. I mean, when I was evangelizing it, I'd fly 2 or 3 hours time zone difference. Can't sleep. I'm up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because my body's off whack. And it's Sunday morning. And I'm sitting there on the side of the bed. I can't get a hold of God. I'm praying and nothing's coming through. And I'm going like, God, I don't want to go to church today. He said, but you the preacher, fool. You got to go. You see, you have the luxury to call the pastor and say, I'm not, you know, I just. But who does the pastor call? And so there's some days I just don't want to mess with it. There's some days that my nerves are frazzled. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. That there's some days that life and the complexities get on every nerve I've got except for one. And I'll be telling folks, look, I only got one more nerve and you don't want to get on that one. Because then I won't be responsible for what I'll do. Because although I've had the Holy Ghost 28 years, the project is just right there, you know. It can go, you know what I'm saying? See, I'm a PK project kid. And it's just under the surface. And sometimes people in church will make you so bad, and I just stop and I bite my lip and I say, you just don't know how close you're coming to bringing out the PK. They think I'm talking about the preacher's kid. No. I'm talking about the project kid. And we'll come to church and you don't feel like raising your hands. You don't feel like singing. Your body and your mind and everything within you is in a fit of rebellion. I guess y'all don't like right, just straight up right preaching. But if you say that ain't you, you lying. And if you'll lie about that, you'll lie about something else too. Because one point or another, we're all going to get right there. But here is what I've learned, that when I feel like that, I've got to do some of what the runners do when they run the marathon. They hit a hard wall and their body says, you can't run no more. Don't push no more. Your head is throbbing and your feet are hurting and your heels are hurting and it just to take a breath hurts. But somewhere in the run, they get a second wind. I wish somebody help me preach. All of a sudden, they lose the desire for the race. Now listen to me carefully. They lose the desire of the race and they run to run. In other words, whatever caused them to want to run in the beginning is lost. But they're running now just to stay in the race. And what we call that is going through the motions. And there was a time when I preached against going through the motions. But as much as I've learned as I get older, I understand sometimes you just gotta go through the motions. You're not gonna help me, but I'm gonna preach on it anyhow. In other words, I don't feel like lifting my hands, but the word said. It doesn't say if I feel like it. It's just said lift your hands. But I don't feel it. Don't let me know. Go through the motions. The Bible says sing unto the Lord a new song. It doesn't say sing because you feel it. I'm singing it, but I don't feel nothing. Well, don't let me know. Just sing. Just go on through the motions. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. There's nothing in there about our emotions. But I found, hallelujah, that if I will go ahead and go through the motions, that at some point my emotions, if I go through the motion, God will meet me halfway and the anointing will fall. And the power will fall. And all of a sudden, when I didn't feel like it, now I do feel like it.
So don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him deceive you that, oh, you put your hands down. You're just going through the motions. Quit singing. You don't really feel it. You're just going through the motions. What you dancing for, you just tell him, why don't you just shut up? I don't think Jesus felt like going to Calvary, but he kept moving anyhow. Oh, I wish somebody help me preach today. If you will push against your flesh, you will break the membrane into the dimension of the spirit. And whence you could not come there that far. But see, God is reaching through to grab you in the natural to pull you over into that supernatural world where emotions don't matter anymore. Now it is the power of God that is fueling your dance. And all of a sudden, when you didn't feel like being here, by the time the service is over, you're glad that you came, and you're glad that you worship, and you're glad that you praise, and you're glad that at least I went through the motions to get there. Now, the pastor will have to straighten all this out when I leave. But I'd rather you come here and go through the motions than sit at home. I'd rather you come here and jump when you don't feel like jumping than jump into something in the world that's going to take you down further and further and further. I'd rather you come in here and go through the motions than to go out there and go through the motion out there. I'd rather you be in the house of God where the power of God is, where the anointing is, where the truth is being preached, where power is flowing, where angels are moving, where the word of God is flowing. Let me ask you something. I didn't always feel like going to work, but I went. Hello? Can I get down and dirty? We don't always feel like we're married, but we are. Hello? 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 You said, what am I supposed to do? Go through the motions. Sometimes I grab my wife and just lay one on her like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. She said, what was that for? Just for. Just to remind you who the man really is. No ulterior motives. Don't want anything else. Just want to go. Sometimes you got to fake it until you can make it. You're not getting one. I know this is different preaching. I'll say it again. Sometimes you got to fake it until you can make it. But I can remember being on the dance floor in the world not feeling nothing. But I still knew how to dance. Y'all ain't going to help me. And so when I came into the church, I didn't stop dancing. I just changed the music. And if I could just, somebody said, who want to dance? You don't feel like you just jump out there. Then what's going to preoccupy us in the house of God? The juke joint never did nothing for me. But God has redeemed me from the curse of sin. And so I owe more to God than I owe to my flesh. So when we come to the house of the God, we got to tell my flesh, get down. Get back. Move out of my way. I've got a God to worship. I've got hands to raise. I've got a voice that's got to sing. I've got a dance I've got to do. It doesn't matter if I'm going through the motions. I am obeying the word of the Lord. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't let nobody come in here and tear up your worship. Yeah. Don't you let, listen, don't let some carnal person that have no idea of spiritual things come here to New Life and said, all that y'all doing, that's just emotionalism. Don't you let somebody from the outside come in here and dictate your liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're not going to help me preach. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, honey, you got a right to skip. You got a right to jump. You got a right to run. You got a right to turn flips. You got a right to holler. You got a right to scream. You got a right to dance. You got a right to... Why? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God will never, ever abandon His creation. I'm preaching to you. Listen, I'm just about done. Here's what you've got to understand. There is a move on now for pre-packaged, pretty Pentecostalism. There is a move on that says it don't take all of that anymore. Why do we have to do all of that anymore? God doesn't expect all of that. I don't want to bring my visitor, everybody around skipping and jumping and looking crazy. Have you lost what little mind you have? Don't you understand that your loved one or your visitor or your friend or your employer or your employee or somebody you work with, don't you understand that they go to a dead, dried up? God ain't moved in there since Noah moved off the ark. They are sick and tired of pseudo-intellectual, pseudo-sophisticated. They're looking for a place where people really don't care. They're looking for a place where folks will say, you know what, I like you, but you know what, I like him more. Don't you let somebody shut down your praise. They did not save you. He saved you. Don't you let somebody shut down your worship. They didn't save you. They didn't heal you. They didn't. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. God will not abandon us. Let us not abandon him. New Life, don't you lose your shout. Don't you lose your dance. Don't you lose your praise. Don't you forget where God brought you from. Don't you forget the pit he dug you out of. Don't you forget that God is reaching for you. Are you reaching for him? Going toward the spirit of relativism, when everything is relative to something else. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. Not everything is relative. Some things are absolute. I didn't get no amen. Some things are absolute. The fact that there is one God is absolute. The fact that you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is absolute. The fact that the Holy Ghost comes with speaking in other tongues is absolute. The fact that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism is absolute. And the next thing we got to be careful of is the doctrine of tolerance. The new doctrine of tolerance. Because what it is to steal from us our liberty in God. Saying that you must accept me. No. No, I don't have to accept you.
I can hear what you say. And I can respect your right to believe. But I don't have to give you. I mean, you know, if you told me you believe Ronald McDonald was God, I respect your right to believe that. But I don't tolerate you. You're wrong. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. We got to be careful. You got to stand on what you know is right. And not just what is right, but what is scriptural. What is biblical. It is time for us to embrace the fact that we've got to buy the truth and sell it not. And it's not for sale. And it's not to be compromised. Am I getting out there too deep for you tonight? I'm trying to get you to understand that there are people in this city that's looking for what you have. And if you're not excited about what you have, what makes you think they want to come here? The fact that they see you are excited. The fact that they what we think the world disdains, and they do, but God enjoys it. When the woman opened the alabaster box and it filled the room, they said, "And what was this waste?" All right, now. Knowing that it cost 1 year's wages. And Jesus said, "What's up with you, dog?" He said, "The poor," because Judas said, "Couldn't this be sold and given to the poor?" And Jesus said, "The poor you have always." He said, "Leave her alone." Isn't it funny what the world calls waste? God sees as pure worship. Don't you let anybody take this away from you. I don't even know. Why am I preaching this stuff? Don't you let anybody take this away from you. I don't care if they're from another Pentecostal UPC church. You just say, "Hey, you do it your way and we do it our way. This is the way we praise him. This is the way we clap our hands. This is the way we shout. You do what you want to do, but this is the way we do it." And when no man nor angel was found to hedge the gap, to build the bridge that seemed to grow leaps and bounds beyond what you and I could ever pay. For we're all accounted sinners, falling short of the glory of God. So we look into the tabernacle. They had a table of showbread. And there was a smith that took gold dust and sprinkled it into the wood of the showbread, which was Shittite wood or Akkadian wood. And he'd take a hammer and beat the gold dust into the wood. And then they would smooth it off and dump the gold and pour it back on. And they would repeat that process until the gold, the dust of gold, was so intricately woven into the grain of the wood that you cannot tell where wood began and gold end, or gold began and wood ended. And when you saw that table of showbread, on top of it was 12 loaves of bread. The bread was manna, and manna is the word signifying to us that when we see Christ, the wood signifies his humanity, and the gold typifies his divinity. And when we see Jesus, the divinity of God, the divine nature of God was so intricately woven with the human nature of Christ that you couldn't tell where the human nature ended and the spiritual nature began. And that's what qualified him to be the high priest. And that's what qualified him to be the sacrifice. And that's what qualified him to be the scapegoat. That's what qualified him to be the Son of God. That's what qualified him to be the Lamb of God. That's what qualified him. Are you hearing what I'm preaching to you today? And that's why he's the only one today. You can raise your hands 100 times and confess the Lord as your personal Savior 1,000,000 times, and you will not change. But not because I said it, because it's not in the book. Listen, I don't care what Kurt Franklin says. Are you hearing me preach to you? Kurt Franklin can't save you. So when you listen to Kurt Franklin, he tell you raise your hands and confess the sinner's prayer, he a fool. And his mama is too. You better stick with this book. A man must be born again of the water and the spirit. You can say what you want to say and believe what you want to believe, but when the books are done, this is the only truth that there is. And the last thing I said, Kurt Franklin didn't die for me. Ain't no nail prints in his hands. Ain't no nail prints in his feet. Ain't no hole in his side. Ain't no crowns in his head. Are you going to preach for me? It's all right. I know you mad because you like Kurt. Everybody's doing it now. Folks are supposed to be apostolic now, or trying to tolerate, trying to mesh in. Oh, I ain't meshing in. I'm standing out. Listen, we are blood bought, spirit filled, anointed, chosen. Are you listening to me? And this is no time to be back walking, back sliding, slide. It isn't time to slide nowhere, but slide right up here to this altar and get a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Is what we need. Listen, my mother, God bless her soul, was a Baptist. And she told me I didn't have to do this. And I didn't have to speak in tongues, and I didn't have to be baptized in Jesus' name, because I got baptized when I was 12 years old in the Baptist church. And I said, Mama, I love you, but you didn't die for me. And maybe you didn't have to do that, but this is something I have to do. This is something I've got to do. I feel the presence of the Lord. And I said, this is right. Well, what's wrong with a good old Baptist church? I said, I don't know. I'm not saying anything's wrong with a good old Baptist church. But that's not where God's calling me. I was looking not for a church, but I was looking for truth. There is a big difference. And if you want truth, ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Every chain, every shackle, every prison door will be open. God will heal you, put you back in your right mind. I'm not talking about what I heard. You see, I was a baller before balling was balling. See what I'm saying? I mean, I can go and all that stuff. My grandkids come up with all this. I said, man, you don't know nothing, dog. I'm rolling in the gravy. See what I'm saying? Well, Papa, how you know? I said, ain't nothing new under the sun. You know, nothing new under the sun. You got to understand, we have a hold. We have a hold of him because he has a hold of us. Listen, I'm done. Doesn't matter. But if you perceive that this is truth, if you can see this, don't wait too long before you get filled with the Holy Ghost, because we're living in the last days. And you can't let other people dictate to you what you're going to do with your life. So I say, like Reverend Snoop Doggy Dog. Oh, but, and rappers do preach. That's what they're doing. They're preaching. And it's amazing how many will believe their doctrine and not believe the Bible. Oh, yeah. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Oh, you didn't think I know all about that. I don't know why you come around my London Bridge key for London. You better get your bridge up, girl. Uh-huh. Whatever it is that's keeping you from getting the Holy Ghost, from getting you plugged into the church, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot and get a hold of Jesus Christ. He is your mediator. Everybody standing. He is reaching for you right now. Is anybody, you don't have the Holy Ghost, but you want it. You never spoken in other tongues. You don't even, but you want the Holy Ghost. Why don't you come right now? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come on. All it takes is one, then the rest of them will come. One person. Anybody? You okay, how about this? You need God and you know you need him. Why don't you come tonight? They're coming, young man. Good. Awesome. Now let's do a church folks thing. You really feel like you've just really been going through the motions, but you're ready to kick it into another gear. Why don't you come?
What are you playing? Playing nothing? I don't know that song. Oh, nothing. It's modulated.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, oh, I know it was the blood.
Uh-huh. I know it was the blood.
Uh-huh.
I know it was the blood for me.
Oh, one day.
When
Jesus died on the cross, and I knew it was the blood for me. You see, the blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down.